Broadcasting Network. What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're going to go back to the phones to Bill in Wisconsin. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say aloha, because we are in the process here of getting 15 inches of global warming.
Oh, my goodness.
It's coming down like crazy. Trucks are going off the road. It's a real bad situation. So I wish I was in Hawaii, but I'm not. The other thing I would like to say is kudos to Representative Omar. Okay, I hope she sticks to her guns. It'll be a difficult time for her.
Yes.
We need more of that. And if it's got to come from a left-wing Democratic congresswoman, so be it. The other thing that
well, hang on a second before you go any further. Before you go any further, the latest word is President Trump is demanding she resign.
He's a fraud. He's a fraud.
Yeah.
If you had to, I watched his entire State of the Union. I'd like to know who wrote that for him. Sheldon Adelstein. Okay. I'm getting a little sick of Donald Trump, putting somebody like Elliot Abrams in on this situation in Venezuela. Come on. He's a fraud. So, there are a few things that he's done that I think are good, but I think he's deceiving a lot of the American people, and that needs to stop. So the other thing that I'd like to mention is PBS has that program called Finding Your Roots. And
yes.
Tonight's program is going to go into the roots of Paul Ryan and Tulsi Gabbard. Now, there's
okay.
Somebody else. I forget who the third one is. But that ought to be an interesting show that people ought to take a look at. If it's true, it'd be interesting to see what their background is. That's all I got.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot, and we're going to let you go here. By the way, President's Day is actually the 18th, for those who are confused by that. Also, one of our listeners sent in that Cross of Gold speech, and it's been posted to the front page of whatreallyhappened.com for those of you who want to learn more about that. Getting on back to the economic news, the stock market's had a really good day today, and apparently it was being buoyed up by the possibility of a U.S. government budget deal, potential progress with the China trade, and but again, it underscores a basic failing of our stock market. It's not being driven by the value of the stocks. It's being driven by sentiment, by superstition. Another article, this one coming out from Investment Research Dynamics, saying as the Fed reflates the stock bubble, the economy crumbles. And what they're basically talking about is, first of all, it starts out saying about all these billionaires like Kyle Bass who appear on financial television to look the viewer in the eye and tell them the economy is booming, the economy is booming. There's not going to be a recession until the mid-2020, and it's going to be, mild. And explain that to the 78% plus households who are living paycheck to paycheck. And what they're talking about is the fact that the Federal Reserve has gotten themselves into a bit of a corner. Because when they try and raise rates, the economy stutters. It's that fragile. And every time that the stock market heads south, they print up more money and they go on in and they use marketing forces to drive the market back up again. But they're not going to be able to keep that up forever. I think we're seeing a trend of smaller investors already pulling out of the stock market. And what's in there right now are the big institutional computerized investors. So more and more, the stock market is really disconnecting from ordinary life here in the United States of America. Okay, another story, this one coming on out from Seeking Alpha. Central bank gold demand spikes to highest level in nearly 50 years. And apparently this all began back in 2008 during that financial crisis. Prior to that, banks really considered gold just wasn't all that relevant. You know, we've got all these debt instruments and all this other stuff. And starting in 2009, there was a change in sentiment, and central banks shifted from being net sellers to net buyers for the first time in 20 years. Now, over in Italy, as you know, their government is making noises about getting rid of their central bank and taking control of the gold reserves. And they've come on out and said explicitly, Italy's gold belongs to the Italian people, not the central bank. And it has led people over at the investment watchblog to wonder if Italy is getting ready for a collapse. All right, we're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network here. Okay, a little bit of other news that tells us things are not as rosy as corporate media would have you believe. U.S. consumer credit tops $17 trillion with a T dollars. They're almost catching up to the government, which is at $22 trillion with a T dollars. And folks, whatever you can do to get out of debt, now's the time to do it. Because when the big kaboinga happens, you know, they're going to be coming in, they're going to be seizing houses, they're going to be seizing cars, they're going to be just grabbing assets like crazy. Because that's what they do when the currency falls, as that caller was telling us here. Right now, in another red flag for the economy, a record 7 million Americans are 3 months behind on their car payment or more. This is coming out of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And this is even more than during the wake of the financial crisis era back in 2009, 2010. Things have actually gotten worse. And I love the way this article is written. It goes on to say, despite the strong economy, many Americans continue to struggle to pay their bills. And people who are 3 months or more behind on their car payments often lose their vehicle, making it even more difficult to get to work. So economists at the New York Fed finished it up by saying, the substantial and growing number of distressed borrowers suggests that not all Americans have benefited from the strong labor market. Which to me says there really isn't a strong labor market. It's not there. It's more propaganda. They're concealing the true scale of unemployment, just like they're hiding the true rate of inflation and the true GDP. We have become more soaked in government lies than the former Soviet Union was, and they were masters at it. Anyway, as I mentioned to that caller, 1920s-style wealth inequality is back in style. I mean, nobody's wearing flapper dresses and doing the Charleston. But in 1929, before the Wall Street crash unleashed the Great Depression, the top one-tenth of 1% richest adult share of total household wealth was close to 25%. And now, of course, the inequality is even worse. So we know what's coming here. Apparently, the market is convinced a Jaguar car, not the cat, bankruptcy is only a matter of time. And this is taking some of the heat off of Tesla and whether it will be profitable and whether or not its model is even viable for the foreseeable future. But apparently, there is a lot of doubt on Jaguar Land Rover Automotive PLC. And again, people just don't have the money. And interestingly enough, Elon Musk even admitted that on the fourth quarter earnings conference call. The demand for the Model 3 is insanely high. The inhibitor is affordability. It's just like people literally don't have the money to buy the car. It's got nothing to do with desire. They just don't have enough money in their bank account. Well, yeah, that exactly is the problem. So, over in the February 3rd issue of the Short Sellers Journal, Tesla's failed business model, and they're commenting about that Tesla Elon Musk quote, and he says it seems odd that he doesn't seem to get the relationship between price and demand. Well, it may be because he himself is insanely rich and he's never had to worry about not having the money for something he desires. Anyway, apparently over at Wells Fargo, their shares fell 2.3%. This happened toward the end of last week, but there was an outage that disrupted the banking system nationwide. And it was the second outage in a week. And apparently customers were unable to access their accounts. Wells Fargo set withdrawal limits of $100 per day at the ATMs. And that is usually an indicator of a liquidity crisis. For those of you who were worrying if Sears was going to go away, well, maybe not yet. A bankruptcy judge has approved Eddie Lampert's $5.2 billion takeover bid for Sears. And basically said, you know, be careful. Don't be a cartoon character. And I think the judge's concern is that Eddie Lampert was at the helm when Sears reached the edge of the bankruptcy. But Eddie managed to get together the funding to basically buy up Sears, and maybe he's got some ideas for turning it around. But it would be a shame to see Sears go. We've lost so many other iconic stores. Aides to Donald Trump are saying that the China trade deal deadline is likely to be extended. They're apparently not making the progress that they wanted to make. And it may be that Trump just needs to keep the deal talk alive to buoy stocks in the face of growing calls for an earnings recession. So, a lot of game playing out there here. The United States and the European Union are going to slap yet more sanctions on Russia. And, of course, you know, now that we're with the Mueller collusion report due any minute, it's time for Trump to once again remind the audience that he is not a BFF with Vladimir Putin. Now, I don't know what Mueller's going to come up with that Senate report saying there's nothing there. But again, if Trump is really doing this just to convince the American people that he is not friends with Vladimir Putin, that's not presidential thinking. You don't make those kinds of decisions, which could ultimately provoke a real war based on your polling data. Anyway. Now, France, their energy company, Total, we talked about them. They're still operating down in Venezuela. And apparently they made a decision to not invest in Israel for reasons it described as complex, despite Israel's growing role as a gas producer, even though much of that gas is coming out of places Israel technically does not own. Israel turned around and screamed that Total is boycotting Israel and demanding that countries where Total is working immediately impose penalties and fines for this very obvious boycott. Now, Total did not say anything about a boycott. They said the issue was complex, and given exactly where Israel is getting the gas that it's selling, it is a complex issue. And Total may not want to find itself in the middle of an erupting war between Israel and Syria. That would be bad for business. Over in Stockholm, Sweden, Apple has run into a bit of a brick wall, and they're throwing a tantrum. They're severing their ties with the Swedish capital. Apparently, the Stockholm City Council vetoed its plans to build a flagship store at a popular historic park. Now, the reason Apple got very angry, and rightly so, the building, which is currently occupied by a restaurant, was already purchased by Apple a few years ago for about $13 million after the previous city council approved the project for the store. And Apple was infuriated, and I understand why they are. Apparently, the company had made several revisions to the project to better fit its historic location. So I imagine that building will be on the market. Amber Rudd is admitting that they pretty much botched the rollout of the universal credit system. And as a result, more people were driven to greater use of food banks and other charities. Now, this whole monthly benefits was supposed to be up and running by April in 2017. Now they're saying it won't be ready till 2023. Now, the monthly benefits were basically made up of six other benefits programs rolled together. And because of all the numerous delays and hangups, those benefits have stopped. And so when Universal Credit was first started, recipients had to wait 6 weeks for their first handout. That limit's been cut by a week, but it's absolutely clear that the delays in claimants getting their benefits had meant more were forced to turn to food banks. Everybody's running out of money here. And here's a really good analysis. This came out of Brass Check. Why poor countries stay poor? And they're talking about Venezuela, but they could be talking about any country on earth. And it says some of the richest countries in the world are filled with desperately poor people. These are countries that have oil, copper, gold, and other valuable resources, but it doesn't translate to healthy economies for the people. And why not? Well, because the wealth that is generated by those resources is stolen by a handful of local elites who cooperate with foreign looters. And that's it in a nutshell. Now, one of the reasons the United States wanted to get into Venezuela is back when Hugo Chavez was president, the oil was considered a national treasure, and the money from the oil did go to supporting a good economy for the people. And it's one of the reasons Venezuela at that time had one of the highest standards of living in South America. And then the economic war began, and slowly, bit by bit, Venezuela's been whittled down. And corporate media is telling you it's all Maduro's fault, or it's the fault of the socialist government. But Venezuela is a victim here. Okay. All right, talking about immigration and refugees, and I know we already covered it with the border wall here, but here's an interesting story, and I'll bet you they're going to make a movie about it. Apparently, the Mossad and MI6 smuggled an Iranian nuclear scientist who defected to Great Britain in a migrant caravan. So apparently, this Iranian nuclear scientist had previously helped Israeli intelligence plan the assassination of another nuclear scientist inside Iran. Remember all those strange deaths and everything. So this defected Iranian scientist, he's 47 years old, and that's all they're telling us about him, apparently crossed the English Channel on an inflatable raft while hiding among the larger group of migrants. And it's right out of a James Bond movie. So that's interesting. Okay. Hungary is really standing up to the EU, and the EU is not happy about it. Hungary is basically showing the West the path to survival, which is to just close those borders, keep your indigenous population safe, and just look after your own country. So, now George Soros is hitting the panic button. Because he can see, you know, Britain is about to leave. You know, Italy's talking about leaving. Several of the EU countries are talking about this thing is over. This party is over. And so George Soros wrote an opinion piece. Europe may be on the cusp of a nightmare, but it's not too late to wake up. And it starts out, Europe is sleepwalking. Oh, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back after this. We'll be right back.
don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here.
And children alike.
And there we go. All right. As I was saying before the commercial break, George Soros appears to be waking up to the fact that his globalist dreams are starting to crumble. And as you know, this whole idea of these unions, they were going to be, shall we say, the sub-assemblies. He worked to put together the EU first, and then there was going to be the North American Union, there was going to be this and thus and such union, then they would basically glue them all together. But Soros is out there, and he's seeing this pushback, he's seeing Brexit about to happen. He's seeing populist, nationalist politicians sweeping the elections all over Europe, and just the people of Europe saying, enough of this, enough of the open borders, enough of Brussels just meddling in absolutely everything that we do. This is not what we signed up for. Well, as we reported in an earlier story, basically the people of Europe were lied to right from the get-go as to what the real plan was. So Soros wrote this opinion piece out there, basically warning that if the Europeans don't wake up and go back to being loyal members of the European Union, it's going to go the way of the Soviet Union. And so he's clearly upset, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And I resent George Soros because he's not elected by the people. We did not say to George Soros, come on in here and remake the world. any way you think it's going to be best. He's a very rich man. He had a very colorful background, including helping the Nazis round up his fellow Jews. And then he got very rich, literally breaking the Bank of England. And now he's got all these billions and billions of dollars. He's got so much money, just the interest alone is making him richer every single day. And he's giving a lot of it away for his Open Society Foundation, which is his primary instrument of trying to push for a one-world global government. And he's now seeing it may not happen. Certainly not in his lifetime. And I'm sure he wanted to have his seat on that golden throne of planet Earth himself at least once. Okay, over at Breitbart, there's a report out where apparently there was actually an offer made by the European Union for a free trade deal exit from the EU. In other words, the EU said, yes, you can Brexit and we will have a free trade deal. The trade will continue. There won't be any disruptions. And Theresa May and her Remainer civil servants apparently secretly sabotaged that offer because all they ever really wanted was Brexit in name only. Theresa May has just betrayed the British voters here. And this is just, it's absolutely outrageous is what it is. All righty. Rees-Mogg is responding to rumors of a delay in Brexit by saying that might be something the European Parliament might not want, because if there is a delay, then the British people will vote in the European Parliament elections, and out of anger and frustration, they could have a protest vote for all populist nationalist candidates, and it could cause an EU vote shock. So Brussels is getting into a little bit of a corner there here. Okay. The latest bit of propaganda that's coming on out about Brexit is that pro-Brexit people and Euroskeptics in general, you know, they love Russia. They want to paralyze the EU, and they love Russia. And this report was published by the European Council on Foreign Relations, which is a pro-EU think tank. So, and yes, they get donations from George Soros. So that's the latest spin. If you support independence, you must be a Russian stooge here. Okay. There is a report coming out of the Daily Mail that Theresa May may quit this summer. And apparently she's going to basically, as soon as Brexit is over, she's going to step down in order to prevent Boris taking over. So apparently they're floating around the date of March 29th here. Now, China and Britain will be signing a trade deal almost immediately after Brexit. So all this fear-mongering about Britain will be cut off. There'll be no trade. Everybody's going to be starving. Not going to happen. And don't forget, Donald Trump made his promise that after Brexit, the U.S. would immediately sign a trade deal with Great Britain. Now, given the tensions with China, Trump may pull back on that and try and muck it all up by saying, well, Great Britain, if you're going to do business with us, you can't do business with China. And I'm very alarmed at all this weaponization of trade, because it's just adding to the tensions and frictions. Up in Canada, Canadian PM Justin Trudeau is being investigated for illegally attempting to shield engineering firm SNC-Lavalin from criminal fraud and corruption charges involving millions of dollars in bribes to the Libyan government. We'll be back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And up in New York, there's been a very bizarre ramification of the new New York abortion law. And it basically involves this gentleman, Anthony Hobson, who is being tried for the murder of his 35-year-old pregnant girlfriend. And Hobson is facing charges of second-degree murder, tampering with evidence, and criminal weapons possessions for the stabbing. He will not be charged with killing the woman's 5-month-old fetus, because New York's abortion law makes it perfectly legal to kill an unborn child right up to the moment of birth. And I think that's absolutely horrifying. Speaking of being in trial, you've probably already seen this on the news. El Chapo, a.k.a. Joaquin Guzman, was found guilty on all 10 counts in his drug trafficking trial at federal court. And he's got yet to be sentenced, but he's 61 years old, and it's pretty much a good bet that he's going to spend the remainder of his life in jail, unless he can dig another tunnel like he did back in January 2016 when he escaped from that Mexican prison, which was amazing here. Speaking of arrests here, over in Great Britain, political correctness time, a British mother was arrested in front of her children and thrown in jail for 7 hours for addressing a transgender activist by the wrong gender on social media. 7 hours. And the police were all up, oh, well, this is antisocial behavior. I mean, oh. Now, here is an interesting story, and this is a phenomenon which is happening a lot. It is not being covered by the corporate media. It flies against the agenda of the liberals, but it's called detransitioning. And that is that people who have been convinced they need to change sex physically with hormones and sex change surgery are deciding it didn't work. It's not really resolving their problems. And so they go back. And one of them, Walt Heyer, is saying that the media and doctors misled him to believe that a sex change was the answer to his gender dysphoria. So apparently he was 42 when he began taking hormones and underwent sex change surgery, including genital reconfiguration and breast implants. His doctors told him it was the only solution to his gender distress, and I'm sure they made a huge amount of money off of that. But apparently, Heyer explained in an op-ed published in USA Today, he's now 77 years old, he detailed his transition from a man to a woman, then back to being a man 8 years later. And he says, after detransitioning, I know the truth. Hormones and surgery may alter appearances, but nothing changes the immutable fact of your sex. Hear that, Bruce Jenner? And you will hear the media say regret is rare, but they're not reading my inbox, which is full of messages from transgender individuals who want the life and body back that was taken from them by cross-sex hormone surgery and living under a new identity. Transgenderism is not being diagnosed. It's being sold. And I'm still not sure what the agenda for that is. Maybe it's just to make money. To give these people, oh, yeah, you're not really a guy. You're really a woman. Hey, you know, well, let's get out your insurance card. We'll whack off the part you don't need anymore. Over in Oxford University, they're getting ready to overhaul their classics department because men are getting higher scores than women. And so Oxford University is going to redesign its Latin and Greek language department in order to make sure the women are getting the same grades as the men. Well, doesn't that disincentivize achievement? I mean, the whole point of being in a university is to strive for academic excellence, not take it away when it's actually accomplished. I mean, that's counterproductive. Somebody works really hard and they get a good grade, and then somebody comes along and says, oh, well, that's not really fair to these other people who weren't studying as hard, so we're going to give them the same grade as you. Why would anybody study after that? Over at Yale University, the Yale Daily News literally published a guide to destroying white boys' lives using Stasi tactics. And it was just this incredible, hate-filled speech by the paper's opinion editor, Isis Davis Marks. And again, this open animosity for whites, we could wind up in the same situation as South Africa and Zimbabwe. And it's very, you know, if anybody wrote this kind of stuff about blacks, you know, they would be crucified in the media here. All right, I'm going to skip on down here, and because we're getting short on time here. And I want to spend a little time with human-caused global warming because winter storm Maya is now on its way in for many parts of the country. This is going to be the third hit in a row. And the corporate media is still out there trying to say, oh, this is all caused by global warming. It's all caused by global warming. The oceans are so hot, and that's why more moisture is getting into the air, and that's what's leading to the snow. And no, it doesn't really work that way. In fact, right now, because of what's putting clouds up in the air is, again, the low solar activity and cosmic rays. But they're still trying to figure out some way that they can sell this idea that all of this cold weather is global warming and that you should still be willing to pay a carbon tax and obey a global climate authority. And it's utter nonsense. And they keep changing the story. First, it was the Arctic polar vortex, and then when that one was demolished, now it's down to, oh, the oceans are incredibly warm, and there's more moisture, and therefore there's more snow. Well, little basic thermodynamic understanding. If there's more water in the air and the temperature is the same, you're going to get more rain, not more snow. The temperature has to drop for that moisture to become snow. And apparently right now, over 1,700 flights are canceled as snow and ice halt travel from mid-Atlantic to Midwest. Apparently 100,000 are without power. And this is hitting from New York City to Minneapolis. Significant travel delays. Well, yeah, I would imagine that here. Apparently, disruptive snow and ice are also targeting the Midwest, including in and around Detroit and Chicago. It snowed in Las Vegas. That is very rare. Apparently, the Las Vegians, if you will, were out there with their cell phones and cameras, you know, just flooding social media. Look at this. We've got snow in Las Vegas. Because it is a rare event. It has happened before, but it's very, very uncommon. And, of course, Donald Trump was out there tweeting that how nice it would be to actually have some of that global warming right now. And that drew a response from Wisconsin congressman that Trump is a moron for not believing in human-caused global warming. Apparently, in Wisconsin, hundreds of schools in the region canceled classes through Wednesday, and the governors of Wisconsin and Michigan declared states of emergency amid wind chills as low as minus 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay. Over in Russia, in the Arctic archipelago of Novaya Zemlya, they've declared a state of emergency following an invasion of polar bears. And apparently on this very small island, over 50 polar bears are basically seeking food and harassing residents. Now, remember back when Al Gore and all of his carbon Nazis were saying, oh, the polar bears are going extinct. They're all going to drown. Polar bears can swim. They can float. They can even stay afloat asleep. They've been known to swim 60 miles. Now, the co-founder of Greenpeace, Patrick Moore, is out there warning that this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Green New Deal is a disaster. He said it's a recipe for mass suicide and the most ridiculous scenario I ever heard. And he was being interviewed by the New American, and he said it's completely the completely preposterous prescriptions in the scheme. If they were actually implemented, Americans could be forced to turn to cannibalism to avoid starvation, and they still would not survive. Now, that's a little alarmist, but there's absolutely no question. The plan is unworkable. It can't be paid for. I mean, there are a couple of things in there that I like planting more green plants. Apparently, somebody went on out to college campuses to get their sense of it, and college students are all supportive of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal until they actually read it, and then they quickly back down. And this is what we get from selling policy as popularity. You know, oh, Alexandria, oh, it must be good. No, not necessarily. And these are kids who are supposed to be in college, who are supposed to be educated on how to think and analyze and read and discover. And instead, they're acting like a personality cult. Oh, it's Ocasio-Cortez. Her green plan must be good here. Remember, it wasn't all that long ago that the governor of California, Jerry Brown, just before he left office, quietly signed two laws to seriously modify the worst of the state's fire management policy missteps. And these were the policy missteps Donald Trump had talked about during the California fires, saying, no, it's not climate change. There were these overlapping environmental rules, making fuel load reductions in forests and coastal chaparral nearly impossible. Hostility toward commercial timber harvesting allowed a massive buildup in tree density and brush with a concurrent reduction of access roads and fire breaks. Remember, I was telling you about those fire breaks. And, of course, corporate media said, oh, yeah, it's human-caused global warming. No matter what happens, it's human-caused global warming. Over at my ClimateGate page, I have an article, far from complete, on the literally hundreds of things that are being blamed on human-caused global warming. and some of them are really out there. Okay, we're going to take a phone call. Art off the grid, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. You know, boy, we could talk about that old, that Green New Deal all day long, couldn't we?
But yes.
You were talking about, you know, the lowering of standards at universities because men were scoring higher than women. It kind of reminds me, go back, what was it, 5-6 years ago, when we first heard the first reports of something like this that I heard came out of Washington State, when the public schools were going to lower the standards for the you know, final exams for testing, because black students were having a hard time competing as far as scores go with white
yes.
students. They had to lower the standards for passing. And I said then, you wait, this is going to spread out. And it's going to become a nationwide thing. And we saw over the past 5-6 years since then, we've seen how the standards in our public schools have dropped down to the point where nobody loses, nobody fails. I mean, it's really ridiculous, right to the point of having... They actually, in many states, lowered the standards for the testing of police in order to become a police because blacks could not score as well as whites. So they had to lower the standards there. And we see this happening in almost every respect, whether it's the schools or jobs or career, whatever it might happen to be, the standards are being lowered to where, you know, those, like the students that really put forth the effort and really try, the people at jobs, you know, you work a job for 5 years and you give it your all, and then, you know, come time for promotion, they give a promotion to a guy that's been there for 7 years, even though he's not as productive as you are because he's a minority or some other kind of crazy crap like that. It's ridiculous, Mike. It really is. We have to, and so I'm at the point now where I'm starting to wonder, when are we going to care more about personal accomplishment rather than, I don't even know what word to use. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's basically placating the masses. And I saw it, you know, over the years. I very, very briefly taught remedial math at the high school level in Southern California. And we were dealing with it back then, where the agenda was we were going to work with the students who didn't really want to study, and we were just going to cajole and coerce them to just come up to this basic minimum. Meanwhile, there were kids in class who were obviously very bright, wanted to learn, and they were just being completely neglected. Now, how do you build a strong, healthy economy if you're disincentivizing achievement and accomplishment in the, at the school level and the business level? And you're right, it's demoralizing for people to work at a company and, you know, be very productive and try and do a good job, and then the promotion goes to a minority person. You know, it's a quota system, and it's discrimination in reverse. But you know, right now in this country, it is impossible to say that some people are just better at certain things than others. It always has been. It goes back to that all men are created equal, which is good politics but bad science. Even back, you know, in like in the 70s and 80s, there were research studies that came on out that said different ethnic groups had different intellectual abilities. And it's racism. You can't do that. And that's when we started getting all the quota systems. And it's, you know, absolutely... it's bad for the country. It's bad for the country because students don't have a good reason to push hard in school. At work, they don't have a good reason to try and do a better job. And so we have shoddy education, we have shoddy businesses, we have shoddy products, and it's part of the reason our empire is in decline.
Yeah, it is. And I remember when my nieces and nephews were in school. You know, I've got some, and I'm not, this is not just because they're my nieces and nephews. This is honesty here. They are very, very bright, and they really, they would come home, they would sit, they would study, they put forth the extra effort. They were active in extracurricular activities in school because they really wanted to show that I can do this, you know? And then, you know, when we started seeing the lowering of the standards, you know, my niece, I had one of my nieces came to me one day, and she said, Uncle, she said, it's almost not even worth the effort to do, like, you know, to really try to achieve anything because I'm not being rewarded for my effort. And I said, honey, that's just the way it is. It's nobody cares anymore. And that's why, like you said, even in jobs and businesses, we see such a decline because there's no incentive to, you know, to motivate, want to do better.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, Art, I'm going to have to let you go. We got to take a commercial break. Back with the last segment of our program today after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, last segment of our program today, and getting on back to the issue of education and what direction it's going. Apparently, Christian lawmakers in six Republican-controlled state legislatures are pushing for laws that would allow public schools, to offer elective classes on the New and Old Testaments. And apparently, President Trump seems to think this is a really good idea, forgetting about that wall of separation between church and state and not showing respect to any one religion over any other. Because if they have elective classes on the Bible, then you're going to have some Muslims coming on up and demanding, well, we've got to have elective classes on Islam. And if it goes to the Supreme Court would say, yeah, it's all or nothing. That's the way it's supposed to work here. But getting on back to this, I mean, isn't that what Sunday school is for? I mean, look how many churches dot the landscapes. That's where you go to learn about the Bible. And how does learning about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin prepare these children for the job market? And that's where these kids are really being harmed. Indoctrination, now religion, and they're not getting the skills they need to be competitors in the global market. This is supposed to be our labor pool to rebuild our manufacturing with. And I think they're being shortchanged. Over in Africa, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, health officials are warning that the Ebola outbreak rages on. It is spreading, and it's infecting more people and spread further. So apparently this outbreak has also prompted health workers to begin administering an experimental Ebola vaccine. But questions about its efficacy have arisen lately as the Associated Press reported that some of those who received the experimental Ebola vaccine have become infected with Ebola. So here we go again. The vaccine is supposed to protect you, and instead it gives you the disease. And this one has about a 50% lethality rate. And even if you survive it, you're scarred for life here. Okay, there's a survey conducted by medical researchers at Orlando Health Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children show that half of parents worry the flu shot could make their children sick. A third of parents don't believe it works at all. It's just another scam here. And now we have more and more stories coming on out about Andrew Zimmerman. Now, he's a world-renowned pediatric neurologist, and he was always the go-to guy for denials that there was a link between vaccines and autism. Well, now apparently he's come forward and said that years ago he privately told government lawyers that, yes, vaccines can and do cause autism, and that was hushed up. All right, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here. Please stay tuned for John Steadmiller. I'm sure that he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please share what you learn here with everybody that you know. Please donate, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can.